Welcome back to another episode of Better Than I Found It, the podcast, All Things College Golf. You're listening to Mike McGraw, the men's golf coach at Baylor University. My guest today on Better Than I Found It is recent PGA Tour member, Austin Eckroat from Edmond, Oklahoma. Austin is a former four-time All-American at Oklahoma State, a Palmer Cupper, Walker Cupper, and now a PGA Tour member. He's going to talk to about his Oklahoma legacy growing up, his time at Oklahoma State, and then obviously earning a PGA Tour card here just recently. So I know you're going to love this. Enjoy the episode. Okay, everyone, let's give a big welcome to Austin Eckroat. Austin, thanks for joining me on Better Than I Found It today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let me see how this sounds. Austin Eckroat, PGA Tour member. That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's a great one. You know, like we've talked about, it's crazy to believe it happened this quick.
It did happen quick, but it wasn't quick from the day you dreamed this would happen.
No.
At what age were you thinking you were going to be a PGA Tour player one day?
You know, honestly, growing up, I always wanted to be a PGA Tour player. So, I mean, shoot, as long as I can remember, it was playing the PGA Tour. That was my goal. I know I never wanted to be an astronaut or anything. So it was always being a PGA Tour player. So it's pretty cool.
Well, you know, I want to talk about you growing up in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma legacy, because obviously you were born and raised in Edmond. I was born and raised in Ponca City. So we both have a background of growing up in Oklahoma playing golf. And we have another thing in common. We both attended a lot of OSU football and basketball games as a kid. I can remember the football games. I would stand in section N against the back fence. I had a seat, but I didn't like sitting down. I would sit against the back fence, and there was this rickety old fence that, I mean, just I was inches away from certainly death because I would have fallen off the top of that stadium. But I remember a lot of basketball games, football games, wrestling matches as a kid. Was there ever any doubt you were going to go to OSU, or was there a doubt?
There was never really a doubt. You know, I grew up, you know, just like you said, being an OSU fan, I think we had season tickets from when I was four on through, you know, high school. And then, you know, I went to plenty of basketball games throughout my time. I mean, as long as I was going to have an ability to play there, I was definitely going to go there. I mean, it was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, if you were a good enough player, obviously you had to be a good player. So let's talk about what two memories for you to bring out, if you can. I don't know if you are prepared, but your favorite football memory of a football game, like that was a great moment I'll never forget, and basketball game as well.
Yeah, this is actually a pretty good memory because it ties into one of your guys. So me and Mark Reppy were playing, at an OSU game. I mean, we were probably 12 or 13 years old. I'm not sure the year. But OSU beat OU, and we stormed the field. And the goalpost went down, and I just look over, and one of my buddies is sitting on top of the goalpost, just getting carried around across the field. And it was just, I mean, it was one of those things, you know, I don't know how well you obviously know Mark's family pretty well, but they're little bit more, you know, they weren't big OSU fans or anything. And Peggy was like, was telling Mark that he couldn't go down on the field with me. And then he just looks at his dad, and Rod's like, go down there, you know, just go, go up one. And then I don't even know how we ended up finding our way back. So this was, you know, we probably had flip phones at this time, but it was one of those memories I'll always remember. And then, you know, basketball game, it's actually a neutral site. You know, I went out to the Big 12 tournament, and whenever Kevin Durant was in college, you know, he was playing for Texas, and me and my dad just went and watched basketball all day long. And, you know, and Oklahoma State and Texas played, and it was just a really cool, you know, experience. And, you know, learning the, you know, the Big 12 rivalries. I mean, it's a real thing.
It is a real thing. You know, you mentioned your dad. Your dad was a golfer. I remember when he was a junior golfer and a high school golfer in Oklahoma. And then I remember him bringing you to all those games. And he brought you to a bunch of games on unofficial visits. You visited Carston Creek a bunch. I mean, you were a little kid that was going to be, if you were a good enough player, you were going to be an Oklahoma State Cowboy. I'm sure glad it worked out for you. Those are good memories.
Oh, yeah.
And you mentioned Mark Reppy. So Mark is actually here today at our facility working with our ping guy, Jeff Brown.
Yeah.
And Mark has now graduated, obviously playing pro golf. But I have a memory the first time I was going to watch you guys. So it was at Dornick Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that little Red River Classic where the best from Oklahoma played the best of Texas. And so I'm waiting on the fourth green, par three uphill, and it's you and Mark. And I know the two of you are coming there. And but also two guys I'd never seen also were Ryan Grider and Reese Ramsey. So you're playing a practice round. And so you guys putt out on four, and I go over behind 5T. And you knew who I was, and Mark knew who I was because you'd both been up. But the other two had never seen me before, but they just knew I was the Oklahoma State golf coach. Do you remember what happened in that little exchange? Because you may not remember exactly what happened.
I don't think I remember exactly, but I definitely remember playing plenty of practice rounds with those three guys. Yeah.
All right. Well, so you guys are playing practice round. I thought these guys are only 12. I'm gonna get an early look, see if they're any good. And Reese was a big kid. Ryan was a gigantic kid. You and Mark weren't so big, but I knew you were good players. So all three of you guys, not Reese, but the other three of you guys just hit an iron down the fairway on number five, just to kind of try to find the fairway and then a wedge. And I think two of you had hit, and then Reese pulled out a driver, and he tees it up, and he kind of stares at me, and he's going to hit it over that big tree in front of the tee onto the green. And he just hits it right in the middle of that tree, and it falls down in the hazard. So he goes back to get another ball, and then you or Mark or whoever it was, the other guy hit. So Reese teed up another driver and hits it straight into the middle of that tree again, goes straight down, goes back to his bag, gets another ball, hits a third one, boom, right in the tree. So he's lost three balls in a row right in there because he was trying to impress me. And he walks over, puts his head cover on, and he whispered to either you or Mark, he whispered, "Well, I didn't want to go to Oklahoma State anyway." And it was like, he was trying. He thought that was his one shot deal.
His one shot.
I've never forgotten that. That was such a good, and I asked Reese about it one time. It was like, he remembered it. But you guys were four really good little junior players there. And I think you were only in seventh grade.
Yeah, that's just, it's kind of fun to look back on, you know, just the process of getting to where I am now, you know, and just like the friendships that you create along the way. You know, Ryan was just staying at my house, you know, 2 weeks ago for the Oklahoma Open. I stay in touch with Mark. You know, Reese is always going to be a good friend of mine. It's just, you know, we all went our separate ways, but, you know, it's just something, you know, I'll always be close to those guys. And it was just things we did when we were 12 or 13. You know, it's a, you know, fun thing to look back at times.
Yeah, and all part of that journey that, you know, I know when you think about what's ahead of you, you can't help but think about how you got there.
Oh, and for sure.
So you grew up in an Edmond, Oklahoma, a golf town for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You played at Edmond North High School, the high school I coached for 4 years. I was the first coach at Edmond North. And we were able to win three state titles in that 4 years. And you played on four teams at Edmond North, and you won three state titles. So you and I have that in common. Now, what we don't have in common is you won two individual titles. I never won an individual title. But so congratulations on that great career. But
thank you.
Obviously, that set you. You played a lot of national junior golf. So a lot of kids think that high school golf doesn't matter. I want you to tell my listeners why it matters. Why did it matter to you?
Oh, I mean, you know, I think the greatest prep for college golf, I mean, obviously going and playing those big amateur events, you know, has its positives. But, you know, you're learning the team camaraderie, you know, of golf. You know, you're learning to compete against within your team, you know, but also at the same time rooting for your team. It's a, you know, I mean, you know it too. I mean, it's a weird dynamic at especially stroke play events. It's interesting. You know, you're wanting to beat your teammates, but you're wanting them to do well too. And I think you kind of learn that in high school. And I mean, it doesn't matter where you're playing. If you're playing good golf, someone's going to recognize and notice, you know, and it doesn't, it's, you know, you see that all the time. I mean, Quade Cummins is a great example. He never played outside of the state of Oklahoma. Mason Overstreet's another good example. You know, they never played outside of the state of Oklahoma, and they went to two top, you know, rated colleges for golf. I mean, you had Mason Overstreet going to Arkansas and then Quade going to OU. I mean, two great, you know, teams. And it's just, you know, it is great to go and get out that experience, you know, of traveling, learning how to play, you know, your own individual golf. But, you know, good golf anywhere, someone's going to notice.
I'm glad you said that because a lot of kids think that coaches don't look at high school results. Well, I do for a couple of reasons. If you're playing a state championship and you're near the lead or you're leading after 18 holes, it's pretty telling how you handle sleeping on that lead.
Oh, yeah.
Sleeping near the lead. So then it also is telling about whether or not you can exist, you know, within a team atmosphere, because you're going to have to do it in college. So, so another thing that's interesting about that high school experience is now that you have a PGA Tour card, you're one of three Evan North Huskies that has one, and that's Robert Streb, Kevin Tway, and you. That's the same high school's produced three actual PGA Tour members. That's
right.
That's pretty. I know you keep in touch with Kevin. Do you ever talk to Robert Streb? He wasn't an Oklahoma State Cowboy, but he was an Edmond North Husky.
Yeah, we. I was playing on a Monday, qualified for the Wyndham Championship last year, and it was kind of cool. We were all three on the range at the same time on Wednesday afternoon before we called it a day, and we kind of, you know, just talked about it for a second, and then took a picture and sent it to Coach Doherty, you know, because he was all of our coaches. So it was you know, I don't know Streb that well, but I do know Kevin really well. We used to work out together and stuff, and you know, I was talking to, do you know Sam Humphries?
Very well.
Yeah, so I was talking to him the other day on his podcast and talking about how it is kind of a brotherhood. You know, we all kind of share the, you know, even though I don't know Robert Streb that well, we'll be connected in a way because we did play on the same team, you know, and won state championships, you know, and had the same, you know, kind of upbringing, playing the same golf course. So it's, you know, it's one of those guys I've always had starred on my PJ Tour app. You know, I've always kept up with him, even though I had no idea who he was. But it's definitely a cool thing to share with each other.
Yeah, and the world of golf is small anyway. But I have a connection to Robert also. Obviously, I'm an former Evan North coach, but Robert's instructor, Tosh Hayes, played for me 2 years at Evan North. And I know you run into Tosh a bunch. He played on my first teams at Evan North. So it's a small world. And I think that I'm glad my listeners got to hear about that. That's three Huskies that are playing PGA.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. So obviously you mentioned you probably always wanted to be an Oklahoma State golfer, but I know you had to be recruited and you had to play well to get there. How was the recruiting process for you?
It was, you know, I think it was pretty, it was different than, you know, a lot of guys. I mean, you can agree with this. In 2017 was our graduating class. It seemed like everybody wanted to commit so early. It was like a trend that went on for a second. I don't know if it's still that way, but you know, we were in conversations whenever I was in, I mean, they're not conversations, but you know, I took some unofficial visits in seventh grade to Oklahoma State when you were there, and it was like seemed like it happened really young. You know, and there was some other, you know, I was recruited a little bit by some other schools, but you know, I think I was pretty apparent on where I was going to go, you know, as long as they would want me. And,
as long as you played well enough.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, I won the state championship my freshman year, and Coach Bratton had just gotten to Oklahoma State. And, you know, it was just it was a pretty cool experience for me, you know, when they gave me the opportunity to, you know, have a spot on the team. And, you know, and commitments are strange, you know, because it doesn't mean anything necessarily. And, you know, wrote in paper, but, you know, just kind of having that relief through high school golf that, you know, I knew where I was going to play. And it's just that was probably one of the highlights of my junior career, was having, you know, those conversations and getting to, you know, felt like I was a member of the Oklahoma State golf team, even though I necessarily wasn't, but I had a, you know, the pathway to it.
Well, and Kevin Tway, who we mentioned earlier, obviously his dad, Bob, played on two national championship teams, but I recruited Kevin just like he was, like I had to go get him. And, and he won a U.S. junior, and I made sure that I left no doubt, you know, I want you to come play for me. And I think he earned the right to be recruited same way you did. And so didn't matter that he always wanted to go there. I actually recruited him, and I'm glad I did at this point. So, all right. So let's talk about your OSU career. You were a four-time All-American. You finished in the top 20 three times in the NCAA championship. You played on a Walker Cup team. I guess that was right after you graduated.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but they moved the Walker Cup up because it's kind of a tough timing because it's in between, I think it was in between regionals and nationals conference and regionals. It's throws in a big event right between a bunch of big events. So it was a lot.
Well, but so you played that Walker Cup at Oklahoma State. You also played the Arnold Palmer Cup a couple of years earlier. So talk about, because I know one day you want to be a Ryder Cupper. I just know that.
Oh, yeah.
So you look at former Arnold Palmer Cuppers and former Walker Cuppers. And a lot of those guys, it's kind of a pretty good pathway that if you can play mm-hmm. on one of those teams, maybe one day you'll play on a Ryder Cup. So tell me about those two team experiences. Even though they're different than playing on a college team, they are team experiences.
Oh, yeah. It's another one of those, you know, learning to root for guys you don't typically root for. The Arnold Palmer Cup's a different experience. You know, it's a guys and girls event. And that's a really strange atmosphere whenever you're paired with a girl. And, you know, you can't, you know, they start struggling. You can't give them a kick in the ass. You don't know how to, you know, you don't know how to handle it. It's like, you know, keep your head up or do I just stay away? And so that's kind of a fun experience. And, you know, anytime you get to play for the United States, it's a great honor. And playing the Walker Cup my senior year was, I mean, that was just a blast. I mean, that's just such a cool event. We got to play Seminole, which is an awesome golf course. But like, I mean, I played, there was no other Oklahoma State guys on the team. So it was all these guys that I was, you know, I would say rivals with almost, you know, guys that I'd been competing against for 4 years trying to, you know, beat each other. And then all of a sudden we're all rooting for each other. It's a weird, and then the next week you're playing the national championship. So then you hate each other again. It's such a fun, it's a fun atmosphere. You know, you learn to be friends for a week. And, but then, you know, kind of the same thing with the lineage of Edmund North and all this stuff is you're always going to have that tie with, you know, these guys out there. You're always going to have that shared bond, the shared memory of playing the Walker Cup together or the Arnold Palmer Cup together. And it's just that's what's just great about the game of golf. You know, you create all these friendships along the way, and it's so fun.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I was just looking out my window here. Mark Reppy's down there hitting balls, warming up right now. Yeah. Speaking of friendships going way back. Okay, so a special bond you're going to have with four other guys when you won the 2018 NCAA championship at Carston Creek, a place we always dreamed of playing. And I mean, talk about that. You were 3-0 that weekend match play. You won every match.
Yeah.
What a week. What, I mean, that's a freshman year way to put an exclamation point on a freshman year.
Yeah, it was, you know, that's just something that, you know, I got lucky with having it as, you know, the odds of it being at Carston Creek during my college career was slim. And then one, it's my freshman year, you know, I was going to have to play really well to get onto the team. And then to do it with just the guys we did it with, it was so fun. You know, Matt Wolf is one of my best friends. You know, we were both freshmen at the time. It was just, you know, we were living in a dorm together. We were staying at our dorm that week. And, you know, it's just that's something that I'll never forget for sure. The, you know, what I was talking about earlier on the stroke play for, you know, portion of playing college golf, it's hard. You know, you're rooting for him, but you're not rooting for him. You know, even though he's your best friend, you still want to beat him. Mm-hmm. The national championship is the first event of the year where you truly are living and dying by the guy in front of you and the guy behind you. You know, it's like, you know, you watch a guy miss a 3-footer and it hurts you, you know, and in stroke play, that doesn't happen. You know, I mean, yeah, well, shoot, he missed a putt. But then in the national championship, you are living and dying by what your teammates are doing. And it's just it's the first time that I really feel like, you know, you really feel like a team in college golf. You know, and to have it in the way it did with us winning and, you know, being in Stillwater, having just the huge crowds and, you know, I always remember coming back to Carson for the first time my sophomore year and just like sitting on the putting green and just like remembering all the feelings of, you know, the nervous driving range sessions between matches. And, you know, every time I walk out to Carson Creek, I can still close my eyes and remember it. You know, it's just one of the things that's so cool.
That's great. Well, you know, you talk about an Oklahoma legacy that I opened this section with here. It's like, how about an Oklahoma kid going to his dream school in Oklahoma and then playing and winning a national championship in the state of Oklahoma in Stillwater? Yeah. I mean, it was all just a great memory for you.
Yeah, it was really just, it couldn't have gone any better, you know, to start that year. Just, you know, and I had, it was just a crazy year too, because I didn't play all the fall. You know, I was benched. I was, you know, struggling with the transition of coming into college and being on my own. And, you know, it's just that it was awesome. Just everything about it. It really, really was just great. You know, I'm glad I had those struggles. I'm glad I went through that. You know, it made me a better player, better person. And it's just, it was awesome.
You know, a lot of you just don't know how you're going to handle a transition, even though you're only 45 miles away from mm-hmm. home. It's a big transition to go into yeah. college sports. For one, all the players are great. They're all as good or better than you. And number two, school's a little harder, and now you're away from mom and dad. It's an amazingly tough transition for in the best of situations. And for you sure. weren't playing, and that must have been really frustrating. How did you get through that and handle that? That'd be good advice for a young kid right now.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I honestly, when I got into college, you know, I don't know if my priorities weren't straight, but, you know, I was just loving the atmosphere of college. You know, I was going probably out a little bit more than I should. You know, I was really, and honestly, I don't necessarily think that's a horrible thing. You need to learn to come back to the game of golf. You know what I mean? It was like I kind of lost its priority to me. Not, I mean, I was still practicing every day, but, you know, there was other things I was wanting to do. And then I, you know, went through that and on my own learned how much I love the game of golf and how much I wanted to come back to it, you know, and how it was, you know, what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, for sure. And, you know, there's going to be a transition period, no matter how straight-laced you are, you know, it's different. You know, you're on your own, like you said, you're living with one of your best friends, or soon to be one of your best friends. And it's just something that you can't learn anywhere else. You know, you can't learn the things that you learn in college. I mean, it's true. I mean, there's so much maturing, there's so many things that you need to go through to get to the, you know, where you feel comfortable to live on your own and play college or play professional golf.
So it must have been pretty satisfying to have had the rough fall, get in the lineup in the spring, and then actually be like a major force when the team won mm-hmm. the title. You were 3-0. That had been an amazing feeling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I was just given, you know, I started playing better and I was given the opportunity to come, you know, work my way into the lineup in the spring. And, you know, and I knew I needed to play well. I mean, we had a great team that year. I mean, we had 11 guys and all 11 guys could have played. And just to, you know, that's what you talk about on the pressure of having, you know, the team and everything like that. And you're playing against your teammates too at home. I mean, it's just it's a really fun experience, and, you know, be able to do it at the end of the year and be a part of the team was awesome.
So what's the funniest story you have on Victor Hovland or Matthew Wolf? Being teammates with them? Anything interesting happen?
I've probably got a lot of them. On Victor, something that always just drove me nuts about Victor and Chris when they were on the team together is we would just be sitting in the, you know, in the lunchroom, and those two would be sitting on the edge of the table and just start talking Norwegian. It's like, hey, come on, guys, you're in America now. Better start speaking English. You know, and then they would look at you and start laughing while they were speaking Norwegian. It was unfair.
Did you learn any Norwegian words, like bad words?
Oh, I learned the cuss words, but they didn't teach me anything else. Nothing helpful if I ever went to Norway, other than to yell at somebody.
Well, that is interesting. You would be on a team with two Norwegians. I have an assistant coach who, you know, Mikkel, who's a Norwegian. Yeah. So, okay. Now I'm going to say this because I want this to be public. Mm-hmm. And that is, I walked with you 5 rounds while you were at Oklahoma State and I was here coaching at Baylor, and we were playing against you. And I should have figured this out earlier, but your lowest round was 64. Your worst round was 70 when I walked with you. And I walked with you 5 times. You averaged 67. I shouldn't have been walking with you. We had no chance to beat you if that was the case. So
I remember Louisville at regionals. I think it was one of the early rounds, and you were walking with Ryan Grider. I mean, I was lights out that day. I mean, I couldn't have played better. I remember that one.
Yeah, and I remember at Cabo one year, you shot a 64, just like a ridiculous. So I think one of the two things, I'm gonna recognize that earlier when I'm walking with a guy who always shoots low and not walk with him. And number two, I'll be on retainer. Just, you need a final round 67 in a U.S. Open, just give me a holler and I'll come walk and watch you, okay?
All right, it'll be the first thing I do.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, we're going to get to your pro golf career after you had an amazing college golf career, but you were part of the first PGA Tour University class, the class of 21. And I think three or four guys already have their cards. You're one of them.
Yep.
So what has that meant to you being part of that first class? And I mean, I think it's a great thing the PGA Tour has done. And I'm just amazed that they thought of it and then they actually put it into action. But what has that meant to your career? Obviously, it's meant something.
Yeah, it's been huge. You know, just getting out and having a place to play immediately is great. You know, not because not everybody's going to get those exemptions into the PGA Tour events. No matter how, you know, good you are, you have to have the name. You have to have the, you know, everything, you know, the media coverage. It's only certain guys that get all those seven exemptions. So having a place to play immediately is great. It doesn't matter if it's Canada or if it's the PGA Tour or the Korn Ferry Tour, just somewhere to go and get your feet on the ground learning to play professional golf. And I mean, that's something that's huge. But then also getting into final stage of Q school is huge. I mean, for anybody that's gone through Q school knows, I mean, it only takes one bad round and you don't have a job for a year. And it's being in the final stage where you're guaranteed conditional status, you know, you're going to have a job the following year. I mean, it's something that I think should have happened. There's so many guys that come out of college and it takes them, they're eventually going to make it, but it takes them 4 or 5 years, you know, and it's just a long process, but it's given guys a road to get to the PGA Tour a lot quicker. And I think it's great. And I think this year we had four guys from my class get their PGA Tour cards. And I think that's a great testament to that it is doing its job. It is a great thing that, you know, giving us the pathways is proving that we are good enough to play out there. And I think it's something that's going to stick around for a very long time.
I sure hope so. And I've heard some criticism of it because, oh, you're giving them a, you're not giving him anything. You still have to go shoot the scores.
Oh, yeah.
And you were one of the best players in college golf coming out. So it just gives you a certain pathway. You don't have to, you know, otherwise you're playing mini tours and Monday qualifying all summer trying to get to tour school. And as you said, one bad round in first stage, and you don't make it. There were a lot of players didn't make it through first stage. Jordan Spieth, Charles Howell. There were a bunch that didn't make it through early on, but they would have. Coming out of college, they'd have been part of that PGA Tour U, except both of those left college early, so they wouldn't. That's another benefit. It's another benefit. It gets kids to finish their eligibility and most likely get their degree.
Yeah, I agree. I've got a pretty funny story about the criticism of it. I was playing my second Korn Ferry Tour event in Wichita. I won't use any names, but I'm playing with a guy who would have been in the field if it wasn't for the PGA Tour University guys, because, you know, they have to bump out some guys for that. And he ended up Monday qualifying, and I was paired with him the first two rounds. And for 2 days, he told me how much he disagreed with the new PGA Tour University and wasn't very friendly about it. So it was a very interesting second event, pro event. You know, what made me feel kind of good was he missed the cut and I made the cut. So that was kind of nice, too.
So you beat him that day. You know, the truth is, had he had it when he first got out there, he would have loved it, too.
He would have loved it. Yeah, that's the thing is, I mean, they would have loved it if it was an opportunity for them as well. But, I mean, I think guys are starting to, you know, appreciate it and understand that it is, you know, it is a good thing. You know, it seems like the second year around, guys are, you know, starting to understand is whenever these guys come out and have immediate success, it proves that it is doing good.
Absolutely. And I think if you look at it, the other great byproduct is guys are getting their degrees. They're finishing their eligibility. They're finishing their commitment in college that they made, which I think is great. Kids are less likely to leave after 2 or 3 years if they feel like they could have full status coming out on the Korn Ferry.
Oh, for sure.
So incredible ride so far, just basically a year and a half, sort of since you graduated, a little less than a year and a half. What's the highest high and maybe the lowest low as a professional so far? I mean, just like, wow.
Oh, I've hit about, this year has just been crazy. This last, whatever it would be, 8 months or so has been, I mean, I've hit the lowest lows. And, you know, now I've definitely at the highest point of my career so far. And, you know, probably the lowest point was I was playing a Monday qualifier in Louisiana and for the Korn Ferry Tour event down there. And I, this is like six Monday qualifiers in a row that I've done. And, you know, I drive down there, play great. I shoot five under. It's, conditions were terrible. It was windy and, you know, whatever. And I end up getting into a 5-for-3 playoff, I think, or 5-for-2, one of the, and it, we play five holes that evening, gets too dark. So we have to come out the next morning to play. And I think Ryan Grider had gotten through that playoff that night. And maybe someone had gotten knocked out. So there's 3-for-2 the following day. Yeah, so it was a 5-for-3. And it rains all day long. So we don't get to tee off until 3 p.m. And the course is flooded. So they have us playing the up tees on a par 3, the 18th hole, just because it's elevated. And we play from 140 yards on a 220-yard par 3.
Hmm.
Takes us five more holes, and I end up making 10 straight pars and not getting through. And but it's just, it was such a weird experience because I felt like I was going to get through. You know, I played great. I was going to get through. I was going to make a cut. You know, I was so excited. And I just got straight in my car and drove 7 hours home. It was like, it was one of those moments where I was just sitting there like, I knew I wanted to do this, but at that moment, it's like, this is no fun. I don't want to do this. You know, it was like a low point for sure. And then, you know, you just keep plugging away. I mean, and that's what I did. And I ended up making through at a Monday qualifier in Kansas City, you know, and just kept plugging away. And it was it's crazy to think that I, from where I started the season, that I got my PGA Tour card. It really is.
Yeah. You started the season with conditional status. Now you have a full PGA Tour card. And, you know, every year, about this time, you start seeing videos of players who have just earned their card, and the emotion comes out every single time. And some of them have been toiling, and this journey's been a lot longer than yours has been. So think of the pain and kind of misery, or the tough times you've had in a short career. Can you imagine going over a 10 or 12 year career and then finally getting your card?
Yeah. It'd be amazing. I thought, did you listen to Sam Stevens' interview afterwards?
I did.
Thought it was fantastic.
Wasn't it great? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about Sam. You know, his path to the PGA Tour, a little different than yours, but I mean he absolutely destroyed mini tour golf.
He's definitely had an interesting route. I mean, but it's been full of success. I mean, mm-hmm. it really has been. I mean, it's been, he just like needed an opportunity. You know, he was playing these mini tours and did you guys hear that? My phone kind of made
it. No, we're good. That's good.
Okay. I'll restart.
No, you're good. Sam, you talk about Sam. I saw him at the Jimmy Austin Golf Course in Norman he must have been 11, trying to qualify for the U.S. Junior. And I thought, man, that's a pretty good player. But then I did some research and realized he comes from a golfing family now.
Oh, yeah.
His grandfather and his dad, both great players. But I'm thrilled for him. I know you are, having been a teammate of his 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah, we had an interesting – we were paired together in the final round last week, too, when we were both trying to get our cards. And we've kind of had an interesting run because I knew him growing up as well. And then we went to school together. He was a senior when I was a freshman for that national championship team at Carson Creek. And I was the 5 guy that year, and he was the 6 guy that year. So there was a little bit of tension, you know, between us. I mean, as you'd expect. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it was fun to look back at it, you know, and play together. And, you know, now we're both trying to chase an entirely different dream. But the road, you know, we had different roads to get to where we are. And, you know, like I think, looking back on it, he'll think that was a huge moment for him. You know, it turned, you know, it was a motivating factor for him. And it's just, it's fun to, you know, talk to guys and, you know, learn their journey on how they got to where they are now. And I mean, if you just look at our two careers, I mean, it's just been so different, you know. I mean, we've taken it, but we ended up in the same spot, you know, but we've taken completely different routes to get to the same spot. It's interesting for sure.
It is. And I'm sure you're going to be playing with some PGA Tour veterans. You're on your way up, and some of these guys you'll be paired with this year might be on their way down because it's just part of the natural process in professional golf. So how old are you right now? 24?
I'm 23. I turned 24 in January.
Yeah. So you're getting ready to turn 24, and it's like you're on the way up, and this dream's right in front of you there. And you'll get paired with a 45 or 46 year old this year, and he'll be kind of on his way, maybe hoping to hang on for that Champions Tour. Who knows? So, well, congratulations anyway on that. I know that was a big, big moment for you. And I love seeing that picture on the internet of you pointing at that tour card. Really cool to see. And I know you love that as well.
Oh, yeah.
So relative to college golf transitioning to professional golf, that's the PGA Tour University we just talked about. But what's one thing you wish you had known in college that you that would have made this transition easier, or something you know would benefit you greatly now had you known it before?
You know, I think mine is kind of individualized because of my two teammates I had. I had Victor Hovland and Matt Wolf as teammates, and they went out and had immediate success. You know, they went out, both got their tour cards within, what, 3 months of turning pro?
Yeah.
And they were, Matt was 20 and Victor was 21, right? So I felt like at that time I was so far behind. You know, I felt like I was, you know, getting old in a way. You know, it's like my time's running out. And, you know, looking back on it now, it's like that was an anomaly. No one does that. You know, but in my situation that I was in was, you know, I felt like they were leaving me behind. They were going out making all this money, and I was just sitting here in college. And, you know, and I think you should really learn to cherish those, you know, the time in college. You know, and looking back, my junior and senior year, you know, I was ready to go. You know, I was done. You know, I wanted to go play professional golf. And looking back now, I mean, I would have taken another year. It was so fun. It was such a good experience. I mean, the traveling with friends and, you know, competing amongst each other and against each other. I mean, it's just it's something that you'll always, you know, cherish. And, but then I would say the biggest thing that I would tell myself now is that everybody's got their own pace, you know, and you look at that on the guys that made it through this year on the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, you got guys that are 40 years old. You got guys that are 30 years old. You got guys that are 25, 21. I mean, it's just, everybody's got their own pace, but if you just keep plugging away, you're going to get there.
I really, really like that. It's in this kind of microwave world that we all live in, like we want it instantly. Sometimes it doesn't happen instantly. And what Colin and Matthew and Victor did is silly. It's crazy good. And that's not going to be everybody's path, is it?
No. And a good example on that is the four guys that came out that year that were studs. You had Justin Sutton that as well.
Yep.
And Justin went out, played the same events, missed those cuts. You know, he could have been really discouraged by that, you know, and he probably was, and he probably hit his low point at that moment. But, you know, he kept plugging away, went through Q school, and he just got his card at the same time I did. But he's just as good as those guys, you know, and he just didn't play as well right when he first turned pro, you know, and those guys have been on tour for 3-4 years now, and he's just now getting his card. You know, it's just everybody's got their own path, and it's just going to in their own time frame.
Well, that's good that you should say that, because I think it's an important thing for kids to know. But another thing that's important for young kids to know, and I have a lot of, I know junior golfers that listen to this podcast and their parents, what's the greatest value for you, not just being at home to play college golf or being near home or whatever, dream school? What's the greatest value college golf has? Why is it a valuable thing?
You know, I think just the life lessons you learn, the maturity you learn, you know, and I think, you know, I had two great coaches, and Coach Bratton and Coach Dar. You know, it's just a fun, you know, they taught me how to think about the way of the game. You know, I mean, I went to school, you know, I could hit the golf ball really well, you know, and I putted well. You know, I had the raw skills or whatever, but I didn't understand how to play golf at all. And that's something that they can teach you, they can help. And then you learn from your teammates. You know, you do all this stuff with your team, and but I think the life lessons might be the biggest thing. You know, you're learning. It'd be so hard to go out from high school and just get straight into professional golf. I mean, you have so many life lessons that you need to learn while you're in college. Just learning about yourself, honestly, who you are. And it's just it's something that I'm very happy I went all 4 years of college. It's, you know, every year I made a step, you know. And it's stuff you didn't realize that you needed to learn, too. I mean, it's just random things. I mean, just and it's not like you learned how to cook or something like that. It's not what I'm talking about. It's more, you know, inside on learning how to be who you are. And also just on the golf aspect, it's just so fun. I mean, it's something that you just like I don't know if this moment getting my PGA Tour card tops my 2018 year, you know, of winning the national championship. That might be the highlight of my golf career forever, you know, no matter what I do. You know, it's just such a cool moment to just cherish with the team. You know, there's not many things that you get to do where in golf, where you get to celebrate with five or with four other guys, or, you know, 10 other guys, everybody on the team. It's something, you know, in golf, it's lonely. It's a solo sport. And to give yourself that team camaraderie is just awesome.
I remember watching that week, Hayden Wood did not make the top five that year, and he was there supporting you guys, and his dad Willie was there supporting you. So it's a close knit group, college golf is, and especially your teammates. So So upcoming schedule. You're a PGA Tour player now. Tell me what it's gonna look like over the next several months.
You know, it's busy, but nothing like what I just did playing those all those events. Luckily, with the way I finished up Korn Ferry Tour Finals, my priority ranking is high enough to get into most of the events. So I'm going to start off in Napa next week, and then it's a week off, then going to Mississippi, then straight to Vegas. And then, you know, I'm really going to play early as much as I can. You know, I think it'd be really nice and different from last year going out, and if I have some success early, to where I feel like I've secured status or something like that, you know, getting to where I feel like I'm, you know, out there just playing for fun now. And that was something that I learned this last year, is because of the top 75 on the Korn Ferry Tour, you know, that's keeping your card. And I was on the outside of that all year until Illinois, where I finished second. And that put me safely inside. And that was like the first time of the year I felt really just comfortable and I could just go play golf. You know, it's so nice to have that assurance of just, you know, you have a job next year. And so I'm going to try to go out and play as much as I can. I also learned this last year that I think four events in a row for me is my max, you know, so I'm going to try not to push that. There's just, you got to give yourself breaks and you got to give yourself time. So, but it's going to be busy. I'm really looking forward to Vegas. I love Vegas, so that'll be cool.
Who are you going to play practice rounds with?
You know, I'm not sure yet. I'll probably play a lot with Sam, you know, just because, you know, we did that last year as well. And I'll try to see if Victor still wants to be friends. You know, he might be too big for me now. But I'm kidding. We'll definitely play some practice rounds. But, you know, I'll probably play a lot with Oklahoma State guys. You know, that's just how it is. You know, we all share that bond that we talked about earlier.
Okay, I have a question for you. I asked you that question, what's one thing you wish you would have known in college? Mm-hmm. Kyle Jones, who's a Korn Ferry Tour member from Baylor, he played for me 1 year at Baylor. His answer to that question was pretty telling. He said, if I wish I would have known in college that when I did turn professional, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you have to manage those 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't, you're in trouble. And Kyle learned that the hard way. He didn't do a very good job on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and it made it difficult for him to play. I hope you could listen to that advice. It would help you a lot.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely look at what he said. You can wear yourself out on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'm sure that's where he was going with it on that. I mean, it's you really learn the value, especially if you're playing multiple weeks in a row, of, you know, seeing the golf course is important, but it's, I mean, being rested and, you know, and healthy is more important. You know, you can do so much recon, but if you're not hitting the golf ball good, it doesn't matter. So
no, you're right.
I mean, 18 holes is plenty. And that's what I've always, you know, that's what you do in college. It's what you do your whole life. There's no need to go play 54 holes before the event starts.
Absolutely. Well, okay. So that's good advice. I think you're ready to go. And I know you're excited. You got enthusiasm as your 15th club for sure right now. we're going to do a speed round. Before we do that, I want to ask one more question. That is your best piece of advice for a 13 or 14 year old who wants to be in your shoes one day. Just one piece of advice, do this. That would help for sure.
Yeah. I think something that I've always tried to keep in mind is, you know, it's just golf. You know, it doesn't matter what level you're playing. You're just playing golf. And I think I've learned that through college, you know, and through high school. You're going to these big amateur events. You think it means everything, you know, but you're just playing golf. And then once you get to the professional level, you are playing for money. There's other stressors, but once you tee it up, you're just playing golf. It's the same game you've always played. You know, it's just, it never changes. You know, just the outcomes, you know, can bring other things as well. But you're always just playing the same game.
Very good advice. Very good. Okay, you ready for a speed round?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you are. We'll see. All right. Your go-to, Chipotle or Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A.
Shawshank Redemption or Remember the Titans?
Shawshank Redemption.
Good, 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 good. I love that. Any superstitions on the golf course?
I don't know if I'd call them superstitions, but I do things in threes. You know, I always keep three tees in my pocket. I mark scores every three holes. I wouldn't say that they're superstitions, just routine.
Okay. I like it. That's sort of a routine. That's good. Yeah. If you could be any pro athlete, a non-golfer, who would you be?
Tom Brady.
Nice. That's a good get. That's a good one. Favorite pro golfer growing up that you watched?
Tiger Woods, for sure.
Your generation, you didn't think there was another player out there.
Well, I don't think there was. I only remember one.
Well, I only remember Jack Nicklaus as a kid. So, favorite course you played in college, a college golf tournament?
College golf tournament? I always loved, we played Pebble Beach. It's hard to beat Pebble Beach. I mean, that's so pretty.
Right. That's a tough one to beat. Tournament you'd most like to win as a professional in your future?
I'm going to go with the easy one, the Masters.
That's pretty easy. Go ahead and win that. You can have a free dinner every single year there.
Exactly.
Luke Bryan or George Strait?
George Strait.
You hesitated. Come on. That gives
well,
me.
Well, I love old Luke Bryan stuff. I don't like his new stuff.
He's not that guy. He's a mess. If I ever meet him, I'm going to tell him why he needs to go to George Strait School of Country Music. favorite Alan Bratton quirk? Alan's got some.
I'm sure you can agree with this. When he's driving, he does not look at the road.
He does not look at the road.
Who's ever in the passenger seat, he's looking at them. And it's the scariest thing in the world.
Yeah, I have my current assistant, Mikkel, drive a lot. But
yeah.
Alan, I kind of would rather drive than Alan. He never looks at the road.
Never looks at it.
All right, dream foursome. This is the last question. You and three other players, who would they be? And they can be dead or alive.
Dead or alive? Tiger Woods.
Okay.
Ben Hogan.
Hmm.
And
knew there was something I liked about you.
What did you say?
I said I knew there was something I liked about you, Ben Hogan and Tiger Woods. What's next?
Probably my dad. I also named my cat after Ben Hogan, so his name's Hogan.
Wow, golly. I knew there was something I liked about you. That's awesome. Well, listen, Austin, thank you so much for spending an hour with me today.
Yeah.
I am fired up to watch your pro golf career continue to unfold. And I know you're pretty excited too. Next week, tell Sam I said, hey, would you? I'm going to get him on this podcast soon. And best of luck with everything going forward.
Thanks, Coach.